Hey everyone, welcome to the Bridgepoint Message Podcast. My name is Andy and I'm part of the digital ministry team here at Bridgepoint. This week we're starting a new series called Deep Waters. It's all about addressing what's under the surface so we can grow emotionally and spiritually. The tip of the iceberg is a saying that typically means we can only see a small part of a much larger situation or problem. That most of the problem remains hidden. Most of us only show or deal with that portion that is above the surface. In today's message, Tyler shares 10 signs that can help us reevaluate and begin our deep water, emotionally healthy faith journey.
This is week one of a brand new series called Deep Waters. I'm excited for this one. It's not deep trouble, so nobody needs to panic. Deep waters. I had somebody concerned saying, oh, I know about those deep waters. And that's not what we mean. This is going to be a series that's processing kind of the deep water parts of your soul, the deep water parts of faith, those scary walking out there like fully known, fully exposed, really trusting parts of our faith journey. Kind of equate it, if you would, to an iceberg image. Did you know that the majority of icebergs that you see, you're only actually seeing, scientists believe, at most, on average, 20% or less of the actual iceberg? Because the iceberg itself, the majority of it is in the deep. It's under the surface. It's below what's visible, but it's also the part that stabilizes. It's also the part that supports. It's the part that steadies. That deep water aspect of an iceberg is the depth that in many of us, it's time to really be attentive to. Because this summer, we want to talk about the depth of our souls, the depths of our faith, the deep water parts of us that was made to know God and be known by Him. I'm excited about this. If you're new to faith, you're tuning in at a great time. This is going to be a journey that I think will absolutely encourage you. If you've been around church for a long, long time, this summer series is going to be really healthy for your soul, really refreshing for it even, if I could say that. If you're a skeptic, if you're a critic, if you're a flat-out atheist and not sure why we kooks gather together to do this church thing, you're going to get an eyewitness account to what it looks like as we pursue a God that we believe wants to not only know us, but see us live out the plans that He has for us. So even you guys are in the right place, and we welcome everybody. I hope that you will find some time over this summer to grab this book. This series is going to be built off the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's got the iceberg right on the front to address these topics. Get the book, get the workbook, double down on this, because as much as it's time to gather back with God's people, for this summer, Bridgepoint's going to kind of double down on connection, on doing this in relationship, in community, doing life together. We have our normal lists of summer groups that will be going on. But in addition to those, we hope you'll join one. We also have four different emotionally healthy spirituality studies going on. One on each campus, Tyrone, downtown, and on the Seminole campus, which can we get excited that that campus is live again in 2 weeks? Let's go Seminole. So in person on all three campuses, plus an online option. And before you say, oh, I got the busyness of summer schedule and travel and vacation and all those things, get the book. Maybe you go through it by yourself, but that online option is a great opportunity that if you have to miss some live options, tune in. All the groups are going to be working through the content at the same pace. This series that we're doing on Sunday mornings will best pair with some of these emotionally healthy spirituality studies. If you want to know which study was the best one? Well, I'm co-leading the one that's happening downtown. So, duh, we meet Sunday nights at 4 o'clock and you're all welcome. The rest of them aren't that much of a step down, so you can join any of them and feel really good about that. All right? I'm only partly kidding. This series is going to really scratch below the surface, and I'm excited about it. We're going to leave no man left behind, but working through this content, And it's a content that our staff has gone through recently. It's a content that I walked through personally at a time that was complemented with lots of other things. And it's been absolutely impactful for me. That's why our team, our teaching team, and our staff has been looking forward to the summer. To walk through this as a church, to go through this together, to see what God would do in and through us as we process together emotionally healthy spirituality. We're really excited about this. So I'm setting all of this up today. I'm launching a new series with the encouragement that this summer, even if you can't be in person, tune in online, catch them on YouTube later, Monday nights if you have to, tune into this content because it's going to matter in your journey of getting closer to God. So that being said, let's take a look at some of the icebergs that exist in our soul. Let's look at who we are, how we were made, and what this means. Because to launch this whole series, I have to start all the way back in creation. Moses records it as God revealed it to him. Moses wrote the book of Genesis. Genesis is the first book in the Bible, and it records how God got this whole thing rolling into motion, creating the earth, creating all living, breathing things, and then even creating mankind, human beings. And I want you to see the power of that because none of the rest of this content is going to matter if we don't start right here. If you are finding yourself in the camp of, I'm not sure this is real. I'm not sure there is a God out there, and I'm not sure why that God would care about me. Tune in now. The creation story, Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, says this. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. This is God. God expresses himself as one God, three persons. So he's talking about the collective God here. And he's talking about making man, that would be women as well. He's talking about making human beings, mankind. And he says, let us make man in our image. That's a profound difference from the rest of creation. More on that in a minute. And let them have, this is mankind, human beings, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This was mankind in creation. This was man's purpose from the very beginning. And then God said this in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. From the very beginning of time, as God shaped everything, hanging the stars in the sky, knowing them by name, creating the earth as we know it, the rest of the planets, the vastness of space, galaxies upon galaxies, and then the uniqueness of our planets with the plant life and the animal life, the water, the sun, the skies, the darkness, and the way it all works together. God, in his uniqueness, made all of those things. And then he made mankind in his image. Distinctly different from the rest of creation, distinctly unique amongst all creation, including the vastness of space. He created man in his image. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's a distinct marker that we as human beings bear, that nothing else in creation carries that mantle. It doesn't bear that weight. It doesn't have that level of uniqueness to it, that you and I as human beings were made in God's image, meaning there's parts of you as much as there's parts of me and the person sitting next to you that dimly in this world reflect God. That there's a part of you that reflects his creativity, his goodness, his vastness, and his graceness. Obviously, you and I aren't God. We never will be. And obviously, you and I aren't perfect. We'll never be that either. But inside of us, made in the image of God, is a uniqueness that is yours and yours alone because you were made in God's image. David recalls in his interactions with God, and he writes it in the Psalms, that God was so creative that David records that he uniquely knit us together in our mother's wombs, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is no other aspect of creation that is like you, that's like me. It doesn't exist. It's not possible, because inside of us is the image of God. So before going any further in this series, and regardless of where you find yourself on this faith journey, something that's absolutely true about you, something that has to be true about our God, if how he reveals himself is true for us, is that you, listen to me, every single person, me, all of us, anyone that will hear this message, God sees you. God knows you because God created you in his image. Can you feel any kind of emotional weight from that? Does that set any type of way for you? Because there's no other aspect of creation that gets to claim that. And I know for many of us, we're tuning in or we're joining today. We just happen to stumble across this message feeling exactly the opposite. Wondering, does God see me? Does he see these circumstances? Does he see my heartbreak? Does he know my pain? Does he know what I'm going through? Does he know how hard this past year has been? And I need to affirmatively and adamantly confirm to you that God sees you because he made you uniquely you and loves you. And the moment an enemy tries to fill your mind with thoughts that would minimize that, please understand, you and I have the privilege now to look back at the cross that quite honestly we deserved and the empty tomb that's still empty today to confirm God's love for us. In other words, you matter. You matter. I don't get to assign your worth and you don't assign mine. You don't get to question your value and I can't question mine. That value statement has been made because you and I were made uniquely, purposefully in the image of God. And there's not an organization, an ideology, a person, a group of people, a label that can be assigned to you or I that diminishes our uniqueness in all of creation. You matter. You matter. Now, before your bald head gets puffed up too much, maybe I'm just talking to myself here. There's another in the room. Appreciate that. Please understand that as much as you and I matter, being made in the image of God does not mean we are perfect. We were not made perfect. We were made on purpose. There's a distinct difference, but the weight is so important to understand. Because you and I, we live in a broken world. You point all the way back to shortly after creation and sin, the brokenness, the opposite of God's goodness, the opposite of God's love began to affect and infect everything. From me to you to the world that we live in, everything is marred and scarred and infected by sin. We don't get to parade around as image bearers of God, expecting that that means we get a different level of perfection in this world. Because the other reality is, as much as we are made in the image of God, there's also the sin in us that damages us as human beings. It affects our relationship with God. It minimizes it. In fact, it separates us from him. And the sin problem that exists in this world is wide and deep. When you think about the brokenness that you see all the time, the tension, the attack, the disease, the brokenness, the broken hearts, the hurting, the way things tend to fall apart, that's the effect of sin. Is that in the midst of us as human beings being image bearers, we live in a broken world. And this is important to understand, because if we're not careful, will default to loving the idea of being made in the image of God, and then equating this church journey or experience to be something that's like, well, I go to church because I want to be a good person. I go to church because, you know, God loves me, and I want to sing a song that makes me feel good, and I hope that they do. I go to church and I give because I want to be philanthropic. Like, it's important to do those things. Like, church matters because these things pour into me. And I hope that's an aspect for you in your journey. But see, if we're image bearers of God, and if this world actually is broken, then church, if I can pin it down a little more, the pursuit of Jesus, of getting closer to God, isn't just to produce good people. Like, we're not showing up here so that we can say, man, I've been filled up, I'm a better person. We're not showing up here so I can say, I gave my time or I gave my resources. We're not showing up here because as broken, imperfect people, we're looking for some sort of crutch to get this through this world. As many will point to the church as his only existence is some crutch for us. Man, church isn't about us as bad people trying to become good. Though, please be a good person. Church isn't about us as imperfect people trying to just wallow in our imperfection. Church isn't even about what we come to get out of this. It's actually something much deeper, that as image bearers of God in a fallen, broken world, that sin will kill all the good that God has placed inside of us. Church, following Jesus, faith in him, isn't bad people trying to be good. It's dead people trying to come back to life. It's broken, imperfect, sin-scarred. I've gotten it wrong. I've hurt people. People have hurt me. It's those people that are saying, I am so hurting. I'm so broken. I don't have it together. I'm not trying to be good. I'm trying to find life. And lest anyone question it, before we go further, again, just to recap what this means, this is your whole self in creation that God wants to see whole. It's your social self, it's your intellectual self, it's your spiritual self, it's your physical self, and it's your emotional self. That's all of you. And the tendency is, if when physical gets bad, we seek out a gym. When social gets bad, we find clubs and groups, or even here at the church. When those things get out of whack, there's a place for that. But what tends to happen in our spiritual journeys is that emotionally we begin to get unhealthy, and our emotions affect our spiritual, and they're intertwined in a way that prevent us from experiencing that iceberg level of depth in our faith. Because we boil this whole thing down to just caring about the 10 to 20% that people can see. I go to church because I want to be a good person. I go to church because I was taught that this matters. I go to church and I give because this should be important. I go to church so I can say, man, God, do you see the work that I'm doing for you? But when that emotional and spiritual gets off track, and we begin treating only a 10% that's visible for us, we're missing the depth. We're missing the fruit. We're missing the power of what Jesus came to do in our lives. For clarity, Jesus came so that we would. I don't want anybody thinking that this is just about bad people trying to be good. I hope that's a part of your journey, but it's so much more. The health that we're pursuing. Jesus came so that we would live. Live. Remember, this world is scarred. It's infected. It's broken. You and me, all of us have felt the effects. We were born into it. And Jesus came with a couple of verses to back it up. He said, I came that they would have life and have it to the full. We started this 2021 calendar year with a series called Better Than Normal, because that's the life Jesus desired for us. Jesus didn't come so that we'd be good people. He came so we would be alive people in the midst of a world that was so lacking purpose and life and hope. Jesus came so that we would know the fullness of God. The fullness of God. You can read it in Ephesians. Jesus didn't come so that we would have access to a good teaching. Jesus didn't come to try to give to try to get us to give more to the church. Jesus came so that we would know, relate to, and be known by a God that's so wildly vast and awesome and undefinable, but we would know him that intimately, the fullness of God. And we would call him friend. Does it sound like what Jesus came for you? Jesus came so that we would walk in God's presence, protection, and guidance. You were not meant to do this life alone. You were not meant to walk in life confused. You were not meant to walk in a life that feels like you are expected of constantly without being poured into, because Jesus came that you would walk in the light as he is the light. But Jesus came so that we would find purpose. Note takers, you're going to love me today. I hope you'll take a picture of this if you haven't been writing it down, because this is what's so incredibly important about all this. You were made in the image of God, not perfect, but on purpose. Jesus came to give identity to your purpose. And what this world needs is to see people so alive to purpose that the world begins to change. That's found in Jesus. So to give a big idea to this series, if I could sort of sum it up and say, what's the purpose of Deep Waters? What are we aiming at for this series? What is our goal? Here, this would be the big idea for this series. Deep Waters, this series, our aim, our purpose, our goal. It's this Deep Waters thing. It's a faith in Jesus, simple enough for a child, but strong enough for life. Simple enough that even the children among us can grab a hold of the vastness and beauty of Jesus and grow into it without ever fully reaching complete understanding, because he's God and we're not. But it's a faith like that iceberg that's big enough and deep enough and strong enough and weighted enough that it is enough when life doesn't go our way. That this faith is enough when we get the negative doctor's report. That this faith is enough when things don't turn out, when we do lose the job, when we do lose the house, when we can't afford what's next, when we can't fix the relationship, when the kids have wandered away from this faith. This faith is enough. Jesus is enough. Our God is enough. That this deep waters means we have enough to live, even when life hasn't been good to us. So maybe the question to set all of this up, to get us processing and headed in the same direction, would be this big question. How is the strength or depth of your faith? That's broad, right? That's kind of out there to get grab some teeth to wrap your minds around it. Again, if you're a skeptic of this, if you're an atheist, if you're a critic of this faith, I want you to watch the honesty developed in a church and a people that are doing their best to follow God, as imperfect as we are, to see this get redefined. Maybe a better way to ask that would be to simply say, do we have the joy, the peace, and the contentment, do we have the joy, the peace, and the contentment that's promised to us in Jesus in all circumstances of life? Because either Jesus promised those things to us as accessible in him, or he lied. But if he promised us to them and we're not experiencing him, either he's lied to us, or there's something about us that's missing that something about him. That's what this series is about. So today, really quick, I want to begin to wrap this up. I have a list for you. Again, I told you note takers are going to get excited. But today, here's what I want everybody thinking about. This is a caution, and if I could be really specific, I want to caution church people. People that have been around for a while, people that have a faith in Jesus, people that are really figuring out what this faith thing means. Let me give you guys this big idea. Building your faith on what you do for God will not. Building your faith on what you do for God will not produce the deep waters faith built through being with God. Christianity is not a religiosity rules list of do's and don'ts. Christianity, following Jesus, getting closer to God, is about a relationship with God bought by the blood of Jesus, doing life with Him. Today, many of us need to start there. Because where we've gotten emotionally unhealthy, which has led to spiritual unhealth, is we would look around in really tough seasons and hard seasons and say, God, where are you? Where are you? Do you see what I'm doing? I'm going every week. I'm giving every week, most weeks. I've been in a group. I'm trying to read my Bible. God, I'm doing all of this stuff. Where are you? And God's saying, it's never been about doing. I just want you to be with me and let me be with you. 10 signs that you have some symptoms of emotionally unhealthy faith. And then I'm done for today. 10 signs. If you're a note taker, let it build to 5. Take a picture. And then we got 6 through 10. 10 things. Going to go through them pretty quickly. 10 symptoms of emotionally unhealthy faith. Maybe you're going to find yourself on this list. I know I have. Number one, using God to run from God. If you're really good at being able to take scripture contained in God's word, this book, and quote it at people, but never allowing it to transform your heart, you might be using God to run from God. If you're saying, God, I don't have time to carve out and just sit in silence for this long because I have to rush off and serve you this way. I have to go do this. God, there's the timer on my quiet time, on my time with you. I've got to move on. God, I don't have time. And when we don't have time to be with God, we don't have time to allow God being with us and to transform us. Using God to run from God just errs us back to trying to be bad people, trying to be good. That's not what this is about. Number two, ignoring anger, sadness, or fear. Please understand that to feel is human, but oftentimes throughout church history, there's been some real bad study about God taught that when we feel angry at what's been done to us, or sad at circumstances around the world, or afraid of things that are going on around us, or even consequences of things that we've done, it's almost like we will default to, yeah, I'm feeling those things, but Jesus is still on the throne, and He faced it all when He went to the cross, and He kept going, so I just need to move past this. That's not the truth of what Scripture teaches, because you were made in the image of God to feel. And sometimes that means navigating and processing some of the weightier emotions of life. Number three, dying to the wrong things. Dying to the wrong things. You were absolutely made to die to sinful things. We ought to want to root out of our hearts and lives things that will separate us from God and distract us from our purpose. But please don't believe the lie that says piety equals misery. That the most religious among us must be the poorest, or they must be the ones that move around the world, or they have to be monks. Oh, could you imagine having to be a monk to prove this thing to God? Those don't equate. Don't die to the wrong things. Die to things that destroy your heart and destroy your soul. Number four, denying the past's impact on the present. You're not sitting in a room full of people that are perfect and have it all figured out. You're joining a church that's filled with people that have a story and a past. And it's 100% true that when Jesus came, the new came with Him. The new life has come and the old has passed away. But please don't for a second believe that that old doesn't influence the new. That old doesn't tend to be what we turn back to when we experience emotion or question or confusion. Don't deny the past. Learn from it. Number five, dividing life into sacred or secular. Man, it is a statement to come into this room and lift our hands and sing songs and praise Jesus and then to show up at work tomorrow and act a way that's completely opposite. And it's not the statement that you and I want to be making. As Americans, we live to compartmentalize life. But to compartmentalize God to a day or an hour or certain experiences of our week is not what our hearts were made to do. Those are our first five. I hope you grab a quick picture. Maybe you're beginning to find yourself in the midst of them as I have. Number six looks like this: to do for God instead of being with God. We talked about this one as well. It's kind of setting the whole series up. Can I confess to you that as a pastor, the temptation for me is to take my calendar week and say, God, you must be so proud of me. I'm pastoring all over the place. As if God's impressed by my performance for him. That's a temptation that bends me towards emotional and therefore spiritual unhealth. Number seven, almost done, spiritualizing away conflict. Here's what I mean. Many of us want to live our lives running from conflict or afraid of it, thinking, well, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have conflict problems. That shouldn't be part of my story. What? Where do we even get that mindset? Have we studied Jesus? About everywhere he went, conflict followed him. And when we try to say, well, I just need to bury that, or I need to ignore that, or I need to run from that, because conflict must not be the best way to respond to Jesus, because he was peaceful, he was loving, he was kind, and he was all those things. But Jesus was also a peacemaker that ran to conflict in a healthy way and navigated it. And that's what we're called to do. All you conflict avoiders, myself being one, I hope I just crushed our toes a little. Excited for this series. Number eight, covering over brokenness, weakness, or failure. Man, isn't that the temptation for far too many to show up to church with our happy masks on? And when someone says, how are you doing? I'm good. When deep inside our hearts can be heavy, our hearts can be broken, our hearts can feel like a failure. But church, do we not recall the scripture that says God's power is made perfect in our weakness? And the moment we try to pretend that we've got it all together and that life is good is the very moment we're tapping out of the access to the power of God working in us. That's not emotionally or spiritually healthy. Number nine, living without limits. And here's what I mean by that. There is this belief in many of us that as Christians, we must respond to every need. There's someone that needs money. There's someone that needs time. Oh, I don't know if I can handle this conversation with her. Oh, spending time with him again. I don't know if I can do all those things. And can I just remind us that Jesus did not perform every miracle he was asked? Jesus didn't respond to every invitation. Jesus didn't accept the dinner party every time. Jesus didn't accept the invite into everyone's drama. Jesus had to take time to spend time with God in prayer. Why do we feel like it's the good Christian thing to do to take all of this upon ourselves until it crushes us and chokes out God's work in and amidst us? It's emotionally, it's spiritually unhealthy. Number 10, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Judging other people's spiritual journey. That the moment we begin to think, man, I know what can fix them. Please listen to this. Or man, I heard what she's struggling with, so listen to this. Man, he's in a mess, so listen to this. And the moment we start trying to be the Holy Spirit in other people's spiritual journey, instead of reminding ourselves that our call from God is to remove the log from our eye before we start picking at the specks of others, is the moment that our faith gets exhausted because we're caring more about judgment than we are about our own transformation. If you're on any of these 10, as I found myself to be over and over again, then this is your invitation to swim in the deep waters with us this summer. This is your invitation to get into a study group. Come join me at 4 today or grab one of the other groups meeting later this week. This is an invitation to step into something where your soul can breathe, where you feel like you can come alive, where it becomes less about what you do and all entirely about who you are as you walk with the God of the universe. But to wrap this up, can I confess just a couple things? Not confess, can I invite just a couple things for all of us to consider? Number one, everyone, it's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to stay there. This is the invitation to step into a church family that wants to walk with you. It's okay to not be perfect. It's not okay to keep wearing that pressure. This is your invitation to step into a church family that wants to walk with you. It's okay to need and ask for help. It's not okay to be too prideful. This is your invitation to step into a church family that wants to walk with you, not because we've got it all figured out, but simply because we want to point you back to a God that wants to do a transforming work in the deep water spaces of your soul. Bridgepoint, for the summer, don't miss these weeks. For the summer, this is the deep breath in your heart and soul that you've been longing for. Masks off. Love embraced. And we're headed for the deep waters. And this is your invitation to join a journey of a group of people, imperfect as we are, that are committed to helping people, all people, get closer to God. Would you pray with me? God, today, as we just begin this journey, as we get our heads wrapped around what it even means, God, as we begin to process even the health or unhealth parts in our own lives, would this be a beginning point that you begin to stir something in us? God, I hope my friends across campuses and across the room and across the internet are beginning to feel what I feel like you want to do in me, God, in us. So God, would you help us to respond to the invitation? You've never forced us and you never will. But God, you've invited us to know you so deeply and so personally that we forever walk in the purpose that you made us to experience. So God, here's our hearts. Help us as a church to trust. God, would you meet us at the point of fear, at the point of insecurity, at the point of exhaustion? Would you meet us in our unhealth? And Jesus, as you always do, would you transform us into something new? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So let me ask you, do you have the joy, the peace, and the contentment that Jesus promised? If not, perhaps something is missing. Start by reviewing the 10 signs that Tyler mentioned, and then make sure you continue to tune in for the rest of this series as we journey together to a place of emotionally healthy spirituality. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to connect with us this week, please fill out the form found at bridgepointfl.com/connectcard. And if you need prayer, you can let our prayer team know by filling out the form at bridgepointfl.com/prayer. Have a great week, everyone.